This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Let's spread the love and the joy. This is Joy 94.9 with The Girls' Hour.
The Girls' Hour is a talk show about life, politics, travel, entertainment, pets, family and friends, LGBT, and much more.
Flannelette is lesbian lingerie?
They announced they're running for president on Twitter right now. I mean, really, you know? Yeah.
I forget. It's 8 o'clock at night and there's two women kissing on a show. Yep. I didn't grow up with that. Yep. That's for sure.
Jen and Michelle take on topics they are passionate about, talk about their lives and relationships, all from their point of view.
Our biggest decision, truly, hand to God, was whether we were getting fries with gravy or not. Mm-hmm. And these people are losing their lives for absolutely no reason.
You guys can't see, but we have the best dog ever.
Walter. It takes me from point A to point B. Shut up.
You know, we joke about straight people. It's not necessarily the sanctity of marriage, because that's been trampled on and turned upside down and destroyed by so many people, but it's the rights that go along with it.
Join the conversation with the girls. The Girls' Hour with Jen and Michelle on Joy 94.9.
Lesson learned in life. Never say never.
Join the conversation. Hashtag The Girls' Hour.
The Girls' Hour with Jen and Michelle. Hi, and welcome to The Girls' Hour with Jen and Michelle.
I'm Jennifer Arima.
And I'm Michelle Musso. The Girls' Hour is our talk show about life, from current events to local activities, travel, volunteering, pets, family and friends. Jen and I, we take on topics we are passionate about. We talk about our lives and relationships all from our point of view and a lesbian point of view. It's been a little bit of a while since we've been, active on our podcast.
Yes.
And on our show. We've had a lot of things going on this year and recently with our home and moving. I got surgery on my knee and just, it's been one thing or another. Mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody out there can relate to when life turns into everything all at once. It happens all at once. And as exciting as it is, there's highs and lows between all that. And we have been absent podcasters. We miss all of you, and we're so sorry about that.
Yes.
So we're so glad to be, you know, remoting from, we would say, Aunt Joanne's house. We're going to call Aunt Joanne's
house.
Well,
we call her my aunt because it's easier to explain that. But this is, we talk about her on our show. It's Rosie's best friend. And she is just an absolute trip. We absolutely love her. She's 73 years old. She walks 13 miles a day. She has more energy than six of us put together. And she is graciously letting us stay in her house. So we have taken over one of her rooms and made it our studio. And I, for one, have a very, very, very bad head cold. So other than not, we could either have not done this, or we could have done this and just listened to me sound like I'm 10 feet underwater.
I think you're sexy, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I told Jen she sounds sexy.
Yeah, there's nothing sexier than a girl with a beet red nose hacking up along a table full of drugs. And I'm using holiday napkins for tissues. So that's
we get sicky,
screaming sexy here.
And I'm gimpy.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So I'm walking around with crutches, and I'm really not walking around.
No, you're hopping around.
I'm hopping around and getting to take some wonderful pain meds and drink a little vino. And
not by my recommendation. I just want everybody to know.
I was at a point where I was like, okay, vino, open up the wine. Open up the wine.
But we did manage to successfully sell our house, which was very, 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 very exciting. And with that being said, we have managed to, I think the studio was probably the very last thing we packed
up. It was the very last thing.
Yeah.
The morning of the closing.
Yeah.
I was down there. Jen was running around like a chicken and moving some of our stuff, my stuff, out. And I was down there breaking up the studio, taking everything apart. And you know how I have to package everything just right.
That was kind of bittersweet, though.
It was sad.
We worked really hard on building that.
And we had to say goodbye. I took pictures of the wall that we put all our signatures on, and the wall that you made for us, with the bricks and the stones. It was so cool.
And it was funny because
a lot of foam everywhere.
When I went to the closing, it had poured the day that the closing, and I wasn't able to break down our desk, and which is, you know, our studio table was huge. It was a humongous piece of plywood, and the new owners had walked through it. And when they got to the closing, they had listed everything that they wanted me to come back the next day and take out, you know, because it was pouring out. And I volunteered and said, oh, and the table in the studio. My lawyer was like, shh, no. Leave and it. They were like, no, 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 you can leave that. And I was
of
like,
course,
oh.
And then we don't use that.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful table.
It's a beautiful table.
Gosh. I mean, being the guy, he probably used it as a, you know, tool table or to build things
or something,
off of.
Yeah.
But it was
yeah.
a very nice table.
Yeah. So we missed that.
So we just want to thank all of you, all of our listeners and followers, for your patience with us and still listening to our shows that are up there on SoundCloud and iTunes and Joy 94.9 and all of our re-airing some replays. We happen to get one or two in there recently, mm-hmm. but we haven't been on our schedule. And we just want to thank all of you for faithfully, you know, waiting. And we hear from some of you. We're in contact on Facebook and Twitter at The Girls Hour. And you guys are like, when are you coming out with a new one? We can't wait. You know, so here we are.
Yes.
It's very
yes,
exciting.
And we actually have a few more things coming out. We were able mm-hmm. to do two of our four marriage segments. And we have two more that will be airing in the next couple of weeks, which we're very excited about. And we received a lot of good feedback on our first two with Dr. Karen.
Dr. Karen Anderson-Abril, she's phenomenal. Check those out. They've been, a lot of people listening and listening to those as we speak. It helped us listening to her and talking mm-hmm. with her about our questions. And that's what we came to it was for our marriage and for other people in any relationship, heterosexual, gay, lesbian, whatever it is very, very helpful. And then we have coming up too, which is going to be great, was questions that we had for Dr. Ruxandra LeMay, and she's phenomenal as well. So look for in the near future, upcoming weeks, our marriage talks with her.
Yes.
Melbourne, New York, and the world. The Girls Hour with Jen and Michelle. Joy.org.au.
So on our show today, which we're very excited about, we had the honor of interviewing creator and host of the Unwritable Rant podcast, Juliette Miranda. And although when we got to interview her, I believe we were drinking whiskey. No, we weren't. I was kidding. Because we interviewed
was.
Her in the morning.
She probably was drinking whiskey.
But it was really good. It's a podcast that I found quite a while ago, and I really, really enjoy. And when I reached out to her and her producer to ask if she'd be on our show, she graciously said yes. So that's coming up later in our show, and we're really excited about that. We also have on our show today Suzanne DeWitt Hall, who is the author of Rumpelpimple. It is a children's book. It is about a dog who has two moms. And that's all I'm going to say because she will explain the rest.
It's like Walter. I have two mommies or better than one.
That's for another show.
Okay.
Michelle gave Walter a song.
You know
what?
He has a song.
It's not for another show. Do it. Walter has a song and I'm going to have my wife sing it.
I'm going to sing it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Okay, ready? Okay. I'm doing it in Walter's voice too. I don't think I can.
Yeah, I think you can.
No, I can't.
Have
I
another
can.
Pain pill.
I'm
You're
just like, I can't. I'll drink some more wine. I have two mommies, are better than one. I have two mommies, are better than two daddies. I have two mommies, are better than a mommy and a daddy. I have two mommies, don't you wish you were me?
Yes. And there it is. There it is. And wait for it before we go on to anything else. When one of us goes away, mm-hmm. Whether I, you know, go away from work for a few days or something, or what is the song then? What does Walter sing then?
He sings about how he's lost one mommy.
Sing it, please.
No, I'm not going to.
No, come on.
No, really, I don't remember it.
I had two mommies.
But I lost one. I had two mommies, but one has gone away.
And then when we both go out for the night and
but
we never come
home.
But
when I have one mommy, I love her more.
That's funny. And then when we're both out for the night and we, you know, he's gone, we're gone for 4 hours and in his mind it's 6 years, he sings, I have two mommies, but now I have none.
Yes. And I'm mad at them. I make them pay.
You would think that Michelle and I had zero else going on in our lives right now.
I think Walter is our stress reliever.
Oh, God,
I really
yeah.
do. The minute we step in the door, we see his little face. And he's annoying little shit. He really is.
He is.
I've had Labradors, and it's all about me, not about them. They were different dogs. Walter, it's about him. It's Walter's world. It's what Walter wants. And you know what? Jen and I, we give it to him. Whatever he wants. It's disgusting.
He's not a dumb dog, I'll
He's
tell you that.
He's not
much.
Stupid at all. He's no. very, very smart. And no, he knows no, no. how to get his way.
Uh-huh.
And he knows how to make us feel bad. We go out for a date night. How come you didn't take me? I could hear his voice. It was in my head. I should have been there, Mom. Should have been me, and then you, and Mom.
Absolutely.
It's Walter's world.
This is Wendy Love Edge, and I love to listen to Jen and Michelle on the Girls Hour from wherever I am on the planet.
Hi, this is Dr. Karen, and you're listening to the Girls Hour with Jen and Michelle.
Join the conversation, hashtag the Girls Hour.
One of the things that we wanted to talk about, because a lot has happened since our last show, is we went to Florida for Michelle's 40th birthday a few weeks
dun,
ago.
Dun, dun, dun.
Many of you followed that, and we had a really, really good time. We went and rented a house down there with some of her friends. But one of the interesting things that happened while we were down there is that her parents agreed to meet up with us, which anybody who listens to our show knows that that's not something that, you know, we source coming or was, you know, something that is the norm. They are not happy, you know, obviously with Michelle's lifestyle and her marriage. They weren't part of our ceremony or our celebration. So when they agreed to meet up with us, we invited them and you invited them. And they agreed to come down from where they live to stay with us. And as it turned out, it went so well that they actually slept over at the house that we rented, as opposed to putting them in a hotel down the road like we had planned.
Yeah, because we didn't know how this was going to go. It was like, I was thinking, do I really want them in the house to spend the night? You know, is it going to be weird? Let's stick them somewhere else. And it wound up not being what it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for that. You know, it could have been, you know, picky or whatever. And it just worked out. It worked out well, I think. And you were phenomenal. You know, I have to say one thing about my wife, Jennifer. She has this ability to call out the elephant in the room, address it, talk about it. And so honest. You're so honest and open about the elephant, which most people avoid whatever topic it is. You know, when you're uncomfortable and you're in a situation, you avoid it like the plague. And Jen addresses it. She has everyone look at it and talk about it. But the way she does it, I have to say this, honey, you have a talent. And I'm not just saying that because I'm married to you, but we don't have your cough button.
I'm so sorry.
Coughs are going to be there. It's going to be there. But it's very real.
This is real. This is real and raw and sick.
But I was very impressed and very proud of you on how you addressed it. And I kind of took from it and tried to learn from it. To when I'm in those situations to handle it that way. And you touched on your own heartstrings. I mean, she basically addressed my parents directly in the situation saying, okay, I know that you don't like this or approve of this or want this, but, you know, I love your daughter and this is not about, you know, me or this. It's about you being involved in her life and wanting to be, et cetera, et cetera. And you went on and I stood there in awe, standing next to you with my jaw to the floor, but totally feeling, and you teared up and totally feeling what you were feeling. And by you doing that, though, you opened the floor so that, you know, and I believe in that. It's kind of like old saying, get the stink out, you know, get it all out, get the cards, get all your cards on the table, get it out, get it done. The worst really was over after that. After you talked to them, my mother came back and said a few things, but Jen is very, you're the adult in the room.
And, well, thank you.
But it went very, very well.
It did.
And they wound up falling in love with her.
They liked me more than they wanted to.
Love her.
They did.
And they even told me later on, they were like, we really love her. We really like Jennifer. Well, good. I'm glad you liked her before. And then when you found out we were together, you didn't even mention her name for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But they really, really like her. And that's great.
And your mother actually, before she left, she came up to me to thank me for, she said she never met anybody who was as direct as I was. And when I ask a question, it's because I really want to know the answer. And that is true.
And it's true. You're very attentive. Yeah. And when you would look at her and you would ask a question, you would really mean it. You want to know the answer. And she's like, well, nobody's like that. And you won her over with that because that's something that's very rare.
It is rare.
Rare quality.
And I don't mean that because I do it. I mean it because of how many people don't. And really, I mean, it's easier for people to not be direct because either they don't know how to be direct or they're just not prepared for the answers that they may get by being direct.
Right.
But I think one of the things that is important and reason why I even wanted to bring it up here is because we've talked a lot about you know, the situation, and we're not alone. There's a lot of people in our community, both gay and straight, who are dealing with situations where family is not accepting of your partner or your lifestyle. And we have friends, straight friends, who deal with the same thing, second marriages, stepchildren, things like that. And we actually made it one of our questions for our marriage, our second marriage mm-hmm. segment. But one of the things that was really important, and I think that Michelle and I both wanted to share, is that I think one of the things that we went in with was no expectations. Mm-hmm. It was going to be what it was going to be. And when we went into this, we got down to Florida on Thursday, and then we stayed on our own Thursday night. Friday, we got the house, and they met us there. And one of the things that you and I talked about going into it, making sure we were on the same page, that we were a united front.
Right.
Thanks to Rosie, who reminded me to have a safety word. Mm-hmm. And we did. We came up with something that if something got uncomfortable, we were going to use the saying, asking the other one if they could help us with the Wi-Fi in the other room where the Wi-Fi information was. So we knew.
And we did have to use it. Yes, we did.
And that was really important, which we would highly recommend people doing. And in situations... We're definitely big advocates for
code words. Like if you're in an argument and one of you needs a timeout, or you feel like if it goes any further, you're going to get crazy, you have a code word. So the other person knows, oh my gosh, it must be really serious if they're saying the code word.
Right.
We've done that once.
Well, that and the fact that, and I've acknowledged this before too, my wife, in the midst of other things going on, she doesn't really... You know, she's the one who, when I kick her under the table because something said, she says, why'd you kick me under the table?
Where
you're just like,
me?
Whoa, that was supposed to be so nobody else saw that or heard that. So keywords are very important.
I get the keywords. Yeah. The kicking under the table. I'm like, what the? I'm ready to,
why
I'm
you
ready
hit to me? Why'd you pinch me?
Let's go.
But what we wanted to do was just share that experience because, and you know, we're both very much aware that that is not necessarily the norm. This was an exception, and we were fortunate. And the deal that I made with your parents is that they don't have to like me, and I will never call them my in-laws. But if they want to be a part of your life in any way, shape, or form, or at least to the extent that they want to be, then this has to be acknowledged for you. One of the things, and I've said this to you at 46 years old, I don't need my in-laws to like me, but I want my wife to be happy. And that's where the compromise comes on my part. I think a lot of the stories we hear from people who talk about it, so much of it is, you know, bad, bad them, or what they don't accept, or what, you know, they don't like me, or they don't like my partner. It's always putting it on them. This is about them, but at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do. I want you to be happy. So as long as you're happy, they don't have to love me. And you know, the bottom line is, and then they said this, if I could just find Jesus, I could be healed of this, and we could, you know, not be together and then go on as just be friends and everybody would be great. Okay. God bless, you know.
I loved your answer. You're like, I already have my Jesus.
And
I have my God.
Very well for me. So I'm good. We're good. we're very good. But anyway, the thing that worked for you and I is to just be able to go in with no expectations and to stand as united front. Mm-hmm. If it went great, that's great. If it didn't, we were going to be okay too. And for that, you know, it's something that we could pass on to other people too. And just kind of accept things for what they are and not try to make them more than they need to be. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be comfortable. And I think we both walked away feeling comfortable, mm-hmm. right?
We both did. And it wound up being very, very nice. And comfortable for all parties, I think, you know, by you even talking about it in the beginning, mm-hmm. it made everything else smoother. It's like, okay, well, now we've talked about that. So now
moving
on. Oh, yeah,
it was like 30 seconds they were in the house and we were just like, all right, let's just talk about this. Because that elephant in the room. Most people don't. They put a tablecloth over it. They put a candle on it. They walk around it. They walk under it. But they never, ever, ever talk about it. You know, it's a drunk uncle on Christmas that nobody talks about. Yeah, we're going to talk about him. He's getting his ass out of my house. That's how this was. This is not going to happen.
So it wound up being a good birthday weekend for all. Yes. And everyone, all my friends that came out. And we had a heated pool that we didn't really realize until the end. We were all about to leave. And then we were like, oh my God, we had a heated pool. I mean, we got in there without it being heated. But it would have been nice.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was a good time. And I was so thankful to have that with everyone.
And the weekend before that, we got the pleasure to go meet Dr. Karen and her husband, Dan, down in Indiana, which was awesome. We posted some pictures down there. Great, 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 great people.
And we flew up there. It was in Chicago. This was so much fun. We were in Chicago, and I have to tell everyone about this because it was so cute. You don't ever, ever do this about knowing where you're at. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we land in Chicago, and Dr. Karen picks us up, and we're driving. We're getting a little bit of a tour, and it was right after the, not the White Sox, the
Cubs.
The Cubs. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That's bad. The Cubs, it's the pain meds.
And I was going to say, and I'm the one who's got a head cold.
The Cubs won the World Series, which was awesome. And we were talking, and Jen makes, and we're driving for a while, and it goes from city to like country. And Jen goes, where are we going? Like, where are we at? Because we're not in, you know, Kansas anymore. And she says, oh, Indiana. And Jen thought that she was just joking because, you know, what is it your mother does to you?
Like,
to you?
When I was little and we'd be driving and I'd say to my mother, like, God, where are we going? And she'd name some far, like, you know, China or something. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, that sounds really far. Like, just as a kid, you know, 20 minutes feels like 3 hours. You have no concept of time.
And so you just shut up when she said Indiana. But she was, we're really going to Indiana. Well, lo and behold, fast forward a day. And we're taking their dogs to the dog park. Now, the dog park, which was really awesome. Their dog Lollipop. Their dog mart, which was really awesome, was out in this field and had corn, like cornfields all around it, and this cute, like old country house. And there was like a single engine plane flying. I mean, we were in the country, okay? So Jen goes, she's taking her phone out to take pictures of the dogs at the dog park. It's a huge dog park. And she's taking pictures. And she goes, I don't know what's wrong with my phone. My phone is so broken. I keep saying that I'm in Indiana.
It kept trying to tag me into like places in Indiana. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with my
phone?
Because
you're in Indiana. And Dan and Karen go, because you're in Indiana. And she's like, no, I'm not. I mean, wait. I'm in Indiana.
How did I get
in Indiana?
my mother would be so proud of all the money she spent on my private school education. So fortunately, where we stayed in their house, there was a map on the wall right by the door. So little, like, lo and behold, we come home from the dog park. I go running downstairs to check this map, and it was like, you are here. And then I followed it with my finger all the way to the airport, and I was like, son of a bitch, we did cross the state line.
It was so funny. So from now on, I always tease Jen, and I just have to say, Indiana.
But you don't
You're
say
in
it
Indiana.
Like that, thank God.
You're in Indiana.
Well, because you find my sense of what's that
direction
word?
Is yeah, sexy. Yeah. She always knows where we're going. She always knows where to go. It's phenomenal because there's very rare women that do that. Most people need like a, you know, some kind of like they need a sign or landmark or whatever. Jen, you can give her like an address and she'll know exactly where you're headed. And I find that extremely sexy, which is good for me.
Well, except where we live, so, where we're staying now, though. I'm not quite sure where, like,
this
I'm just learning my way.
Yeah, yeah.
So the other day, everybody had their leaves bagged in, you know, those like Home Depot bags up and down the street. So I knew how to get there by like the third house with the 10 bags of leaves that, and then I had to make a left, say I'm making it up. And then son of a bitch, they came Thursday
and then
they picked up all the leaves and I came home and drove right past the house. I was like, wait a minute.
So hashtag the girls hour. If you want to join the conversation, I would love to hear from you. Are you a landmark person or are you an address person? Can someone tell you, hey, north, south, east, west, and you'll find your way? Or do you need landmarks? Like, if you go down the street, there's a tree and then there's a dog next to the tree. And if there's the dogs by the tree, you can make a left. Like, if that's kind of that kind of thing.
Or just do it the old fashioned way and put it on your phone.
The old fashioned way. So we'd love to hear from all of you. So please reach out to us. You can reach us, The Girls Hour. Go to our website, thegirlshour.org, HOUR.org, or find us on Facebook, Twitter. You know, we're always on there tweeting, Facebooking, connecting with all of you. At the Girls Hour, HOUR. You could email us. We love to hear your stories. Please, please, please. TheGirls@TheGirlsHour.com.
Hi, this is Karen Pike, and I'm listening to The Girls Hour from Down Under, Melbourne, Australia.
Well, today on the Girls Hour, we have author, essayist, creator, and host of The Unwritable Rant, Juliette Miranda. She is real, raw, and a down-to-earth type of woman. Her podcast takes on life topics that, as you listen to, you will start yelling at your devices saying, "I feel the same way." And the best part is all her podcasts start with a vivid description of a new bourbon, sipping it the whole time. So now how cool is that? So right now we'd like to welcome to the Girls Hour, Juliette Miranda.
Welcome.
Hey, y'all.
How are you?
I like how she says it. Hey, y'all.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much for being part of the Girls Hour with us. We really appreciate this.
Of course. I'm really happy to be talking with you today.
Well, as a fellow podcaster.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah. And we had a chance, we had a chance to speak with Juliette a few minutes before we started our interview, and I shared my
undying love.
Yeah. I just say my
she wants
crush.
An autograph.
My fan base over here. I borderline fan stalker to a few people. And
if I didn't know any better, I come home and she's like, "Oh my God, did you listen to her new show?" And I was like, "Oh God, here we go. If you start drinking bourbon, I'm going to get worried because I don't think she can handle it, Juliette." she can't.
That's true. Yeah. No. Then she's going to be calling you. That there's got to be something done here.
There's got to be some help somewhere.
But we wanted to bring you on, and of course, because we, you know, as we say all the time, we support things that we believe in, and we like to promote things that we believe in. So as the podcast network that we're all in grows, being able to support each other just makes it that much better. And then, you know, I find a lot of my own podcasts through our support system and the podcast family on Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. But to have you on now, we want you to tell our listeners about your podcast, The Unwritable Rant, and how that came to be for you.
Sure. I actually started out as a writer. It's something I've been doing all of my life. And unfortunately, I think people aren't reading as much as they used to. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to find a new and kind of modern way to share the stories that I have. So, you know, one day I was just kind of out on the driveway, you know, doing driveway drinking and listening to a podcast that I really liked. And I'm like, you know what? This is something I can do. You know, it can't be that hard. Mm-hmm. So I decided, I kind of, you know, got my gear together, got my guy, and we're like, you know what? Let's put it together. And I don't know, a year later now, it's kind of evolved into sitting down, you know, with a bunch of friends at a bar kind of atmosphere, mm-hmm. where I tell stories, I drink the bourbon, and you know, it's just all about the storytelling.
Yeah, definitely about that storytelling. I was listening to you, and I kind of get engrossed.
Right,
because yeah. You, like, lead us through it, you know, versus just somebody, you see the unwritable rant, but, for, you know, when somebody goes off on a rant, and it, like a little tangent, right. And you kind of go, oh, okay, that's great. But yours is, like, follows through, and hook, line, and sinker, and brings them in. So I can definitely tell, like, your writing ability. That's awesome.
So much so, like I said, that I just totally missed an exit. And it's not so bad when you're just missing an exit, but when it's a four-hour drive, like, that extra half hour is just like, oh, my gosh. And then I realized it was all because I was listening to you. Now let's go back to that your driveway drinking. Is that the same driveway that you broke your glass in a few weeks ago?
A real fan.
It is. Everything happens on the driveway. I think all of our good stories start on the driveway.
Okay, well, ours start in the backyard by the fire pit. So, all right, we can totally relate to that.
Well, this is somewhat
totally.
In the
same difference.
Yeah, exactly. So we're drinking Prosecco out in our backyard, and you're drinking bourbon in your driveway. This is like
you're the East Coast,
right,
and it's a little southern. When I lived down in the South, You're right. Everything happens in the driveway. You pull up, you meet everybody in the driveway, and it goes from there. So, speaking of
exactly.
that, yeah, the bourbon. Now, I have to ask, how did you decide to make that your weekly intro, and how do you find them all? I mean, I've been out to my favorite, you know, Maker's Mark Distillery out in Kentucky, and that was like an awesome thing for me, but that's, I only know like four bourbons.
Me too.
You know what I mean? I went there and I was like, oh, but that was it, you know? So
no, I get it. Bourbon is something that I've always just really enjoyed. And I mix it up on occasion. Sometimes I'll talk about just a mixed cocktail that I've made that I think is delicious. But bourbon just really appeals to me. It's just got so many different flavors. And, you know, like I've been to the Maker's Mark Distillery. I've done the Jim Beam Distillery, you know, all up and down that bourbon trail in Kentucky. And, you know, there's so much to discover. I mean, every single region has its own kind of bourbon. So, you know, I take recommendations from people. I go to different stores, and then I just kind of, you know, experiment. I pull bottles off the shelves and, you know, hope for the best.
Wow.
Do you think there'll ever be a time where there will there be more shows and not, like right now you have a bourbon for every show. Will there ever be a repeat?
Yes, actually, there absolutely already have been repeats because sometimes I just drink the bourbon that, you know, I'm in the mood for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I want Nickers Mark, then I'm going to drink it.
Okay.
It's kind of impossible, I think, every week to have a new bourbon. Plus, yeah. I don't have the money for that.
Right.
Training in your liver pretty soon. What'll be funny, too, is like if she gets a system, Jen, like you'll know what kind of a rant she's going to be on according to a bourbon. Yeah,
right, right.
You never know.
Yeah. Well, you know, my big...
Very true.
That is true.
I try to kind of pace my spirit out with what I'm drinking. So, you know, if I'm in a really feisty sort of mood, then I've got something that's got a really high proof to it. You know, if I'm a little bit more mellow, then, you know, I might be drinking a hot toddy. You know, it all mm-hmm. kind of goes together.
Now, do you, because the one with the your show with the broken glass, I think that was the 100 proof one. So do you find, and I mean, you're talking to where wine and Prosecco. Well, I say Prosecco, but like our big switch from summer to winter is we go from Prosecco to Champagne because it's like warmer almost. I know that it makes zero sense, but do you base your bourbon around the seasons too for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My bourbon changes every month, really. Mm-hmm. You know, in the heart of summer, I'm going to drink something that's a little bit more light mm-hmm. and, you know, has kind of like an oaky flavor to it. Whereas when I go into autumn and the winter, then I want that higher alcohol proof. You know, I want it to be spicy and,
right.
you know, a little bit fuller bodied.
Right. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, you mentioned before, and we were going to talk about it, that you're an author as well. You have a memoir, Morning Neurosis. Am I saying that right? I get hung out at the end.
Neuroses.
That's right.
and I know.
You're actually working on a new one, right? Home is Where We Are Not. I love that title. And that's, I had to write it and read it twice. I was like, wait, because it's different. You get halfway through the sentence and then you're like, where we are not, because it's, you know.
You dissect everything. It's all good. it's like an epiphany, though, when you hear it.
Right.
Like you just say it over.
Well, I was like, that's a topic that has to be discussed. Now, where are you at with your second book? Is it almost done? Is it there a due date for it? Or
it's in progress. I'm actually working on two different books right now. So when I get hung up on one, I move over to the other.
Okay.
But Home is Where We Are Not is one that I'm really excited about writing because it's a collection of stories about my travel experiences with my guy. So when I say home is where we are not, it means that, you know, where we always want to be, where our home is, are the different places where we travel.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, that's cool.
I like that.
That's
yeah,
very cool.
I do. I like that. Now, because you'll talk sometimes about your traveling and your shows and stuff, and I think it's, am I correct in saying it? You travel to New Orleans, right?
Oh, yes. New Orleans is my favorite place in the United States.
I've never been. Everyone says it's so wonderful. I have to check it out. We have to go, John.
Yeah.
I've never been.
And when you listen and you hear her description of New Orleans, you're driving and you just go, well, I'm just going to go to the airport because that's how it feels. Like it's so, like when you describe your trips to New Orleans, you're there. Like I'm there anyway. They don't know it. I'm probably stalking them too as they're walking down.
Yeah, I always think of it in New Orleans as like Mardi Gras and just the party. And then, you know, I don't think of it beyond that. I don't know. I've never been. So
what makes it one of your favorite?
That is a common misconception. It's way more than Mardi Gras. I mean, that's a couple of days out of the year and it's amazing. But New Orleans just has so much of a rich history to it. You know, you go there and everybody is so welcoming and it's, you know, every different corner has a different story. And that's why I love being there because, you know, there's always something different to see or smell or feel. It's perfect.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. That's definitely someplace that we want to go to.
So when is your new book, what is your plan for it to be out so you can look for it?
Well, that's the tricky part because even though I already have one book published, that doesn't necessarily mean the other two are ever going to come out.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm shopping them around. I'm working with an agent. But, you know, the book industry right now is so incredibly difficult because they're still trying to figure out, you know, what the medium for it is. Is it going to be digital? Is it print? You know, and publishers are incredibly hesitant right now to release anybody who doesn't have an incredibly proven track record. So that's part of what I have going with the podcast is that, you know, telling my stories and sharing them, you know, it kind of builds up a little bit more credibility.
Mm, okay, I could see that. Yeah, we, you know, we have we do a feature on our podcast called the Weekend Reads, and we feature a book and an author and one of their books every 2 weeks. And we speak to a lot of authors, and it's interesting you said that because it's the common theme.
Right.
You know, sometimes, I shouldn't say sometimes, they all say that finding a publisher and just exactly what you just said about having, publishing companies are so skeptical at this point now because it's how do we do this? And so many authors we have don't even have books anymore. They just have their books on e-reads, you know.
Yeah,
like
they don't
even make actual books, which is just so interesting to me as an avid reader. You know, my safety in growing up was how many books I had on my nightstand. Mm-hmm. You know, and now it's you walk into Barnes & Noble and it's, you know, the first 200 feet is taken up with
the Nook
with their
and all
Nook
the stuff.
Yeah, it's just so different these days. It's incredible.
I just don't feel though that, you know, being on that topic of books, I'm still hopeful because a lot of people do go to the books.
Yeah.
It is a staple.
I would take a book in my hand any day. Absolutely.
You know, like podcasting, they didn't think this was going to be so big, and look, it's taken a life of its own. And and book and reading and holding that book in your hand, I think, is really going to be around for a very long time.
Are you an avid reader?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I feel the same way. I'm all about that tactile experience of having the book in my hand. You know, it's just, you know, building a library and seeing the books on the shelves and everything. I love it. That's what I grew up with, and it's just the way I'm going to continue reading. I don't even have an e-reader. I refuse to do it.
Yeah. I actually didn't want to, but then especially when we got into podcasting, you know, so many of the authors send me their books that way, and I actually had to give my iPad to Michelle because I didn't know about iBooks or how to do Audible, you know, whatever, all of that stuff on there, and it's a whole different world. One that I mean, I know I have to have, but I miss the actual.
Right.
When an author says, "I'm going to mail you my book," I go, "Yes!"
Yeah.
Like it's like Christmas. Now you started doing interviews on your podcast. How do you pick the people that you're going to have on your shows?
It varies. You know, it has to be somebody that I have a deep interest in, or somebody that, you know, has a project coming up that I think is just really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So we work really hard to find, you know, the right guests for the show, because one of the things that I love about talking to people is really helping them tell their own story. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be, you know, the person that I'm really interested in and that I've got to, you know, that I'm excited to get to know even better.
Are you finding a learning lesson? I mean, as a writer and you, I'm sure you've interviewed people before and you've talked to people and then had to take their stories and turn it into words. Do you find it, is it similar to what you're doing interviewing people, or do you find the process completely different?
It's actually completely different because I actually have a background writing for the music industry. So I used to interview rock bands, and I wrote for a couple different magazines for a long time. And the process of just, you know, getting somebody to talk about facets of their career is really actually kind of easy because, you know, when you're talking to them for print, you know, you have a very focused agenda. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the podcast, you have a little bit more freedom to kind of explore different areas and, you know, let them go off on a tangent about something that means something. You know, mm-hmm. you have a little bit more flexibility there.
I could see that. Interesting. Well, you know, we always do a fun question.
Mm-hmm.
And we just try to ask, you know, whatever usually either comes to our mind or one that really isn't. But, you know, it's not part of anything other than just us being nosy and wanting to know something. And I usually write it or I ask it, but I just wrote it right before we started our interview.
Sure. Give us one person you would want to interview, dead or alive.
Right. Whether they're dead or alive, living, who would you interview?
Jim Henson.
Wow. Okay. That was fast. Normal. I mean,
telepathic.
The response we usually get from people is like, "Oh gosh, I don't know. Me and Michelle look at each other like it's not that hard. Just the first thing that comes to your mind."
She's had her bourbon this morning.
That was awesome. Okay, why?
You know what? I love Jim Henson. I think he did such an amazing thing creating the Muppets. He created these incredible characters and gave them these stories and personalities that are just so much fun. You know, you're not your typical cartoon character. You know, they're not silly. They're more like people. And I mm-hmm. think that their legacy is just so cool.
Yeah, they've been around.
So if I could just sit down with him, I don't even know where I'd start, but I would love to hang out with that guy.
Kermit, awesome. I mean, come on.
You're absolutely right. They're people. They're friends, they're family. You're absolutely right.
You know, you're totally, now that my mind is just blown, because people go around, adults go around talking about Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
To this day.
Exactly.
We talk about Miss Piggy and Kermit and all of them.
The Cookie Monster. I mean, really. Oh my gosh.
I think I imitated, what's his name? I put the chicken in the oven. The chef, I used to love him. But I loved him. He was my favorite.
Yeah. You know, they're crazy. They make mistakes, you know. They goof up and then, you know, they ruin things, but then they get back at it. You know, they are so fun.
I love that. That is fantastic. Yeah, what a great answer. We're going to be thinking about that all day, and now I can probably say my wife will be making that. So thank you for that.
I'll walk around making voices all day. So we have to ask you, Juliet, tell our listeners, how do they find you and listen to your podcast?
Ah, yes. Well, you know what? The easiest way is just to go to theunwritablerant.com. Got everything. It's got the podcast on there. It's got my essays, information about my book. And then you can also find all the ways to subscribe to the show on there, you know, including iTunes and iHeartRadio and all of those.
Okay. Oh, fantastic.
Great. And as for our listeners that we always, always ask, if you're going to iTunes, to please write a review. We know how important
it is.
And,
yeah, download,
subscribe,
and
download. Exactly. Exactly. So we will promote
partake in the listening. And maybe they'll even try to drink a bourbon or two.
Absolutely. I hope so.
I have to ask you to decide. Have you had one where you warmed it up, like warmed up your bourbon or heated anything up before?
What I do normally is, if it's a cold day, then I'll add bourbon to like hot cider, or sometimes I throw it in my tea, but that's usually my favorite way of drinking it. Although once I had it that, it was served in a very large glass and it was infused with smoke. And the glass came with the smoke in it. It was wild.
I have seen that like on a video somewhere, but, yeah, I've never tried it. Holy cow. How did that taste?
It was incredible. I mean, really, just that infusion gave it this really warm, like campfire-like flavor.
Wow, that's cool.
How they did that, it blows my mind.
That is cool. I have to tell you that today, while we're doing this interview, it's not that nice of a day. It's overcast. It would be, if I drank bourbon, today would be a bourbon day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's still early in the morning. We never know. We may just.
And he'll send you a picture.
We're just going to say that, and then we'll have to send her a picture. When they say, when in Rome, if we're speaking there, we should be drinking bourbon.
Exactly.
Well, Juliet, we want to thank you so much for spending your time with us on the Girls Hour and talking about your podcast, Unwritable Rant, by Juliet Miranda. If everyone should go check it out, listen to it. You may learn a little something or definitely feel connected.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So thank you so much.
Of course. It was so great talking with you.
Take care.
The Girls Hour, available on podcast via joy.org.au/girls hour.
Well, that was fun. And it's so funny because every time I listen to her show and now listening to the interview, it makes me want to drink bourbon. And I really, I never.
You don't drink bourbon, though.
Well, you know,
not
what?
Really.
Is Jack Daniel's Honey considered bourbon?
Yeah, it's a bourbon whiskey.
All right, then I am a bourbon drinker now.
You are?
Because that's my new thing.
That's your new thing. I drink Jameson. I mean, that's it's a whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So, Irish whiskey.
Yeah. Now, who needs medicine when you could just boil hot water and throw a little Jack Daniel's in it, too, by the way?
That's true.
Is my mother proud?
I was surprised at you the other day. She boiled some water, made like tea with honey, and put Jack Daniel's honey in it.
Yeah. Well, and sidebar here, when we were in Florida, I was down, you know, as we said, with Juliet when in Rome. I was in Florida with a bunch of Michelle's friends, and they were doing, her friends, God bless them, kept coming over by me when I was talking to her parents, and they kept like making, you know, signals, like, you know, do it like a shot, you know, like
in
your hand. So when I finally got to get out there and sit with them, I said, all right, I'll take a shot now. And they take out a bottle
of Crown Royal Apple,
which, you know, if anybody has ever had the unpleasurable experience of eating a Jolly Rancher that may have been melted, really sweet and tart, that's what this was. But I wasn't allowed to put it in a shot glass. I had to swig it right from the bottle.
It wasn't even just, it was a jar.
It was a jug.
Like a big glass jug of
So they got the Jersey Girl to do a shot out of the big ass bottle that tasted like a big bag of candy.
I was drinking out of that thing. So bad. My friends are wild and crazy, but I love them. They're good, good people. Shout out to all of them. They're very good people.
So moving on to our regular topics, weekend reads. We are now on a hiatus due to the fact that we...
Well, we have a new P.O. box.
Yes.
So it's on our website. You can find it. A New York address. So go there. If you mailed anything to our P.O. box, our previous one, check out our new one on our website, thegirlshour, HOUR.org.
Yes.
Go there. P.O. box 3935, New York, New York, 10185. And we'd love to receive some new books from you, new authors, whatever suggestions. You can even email us and let us know if you had mailed something to one and want to know if we got received it or not.
Yes,
so
that's very important. I'm going to take the rest of the year, actually, the next 5 weeks, and work on getting some new authors underway. And for as this year was hugely successful with our weekend reads, we brought a lot of authors to the table. I love seeing our authors writing each other on Facebook or Twitter and everybody, you know, building the community. When our previous authors have a new book out, we definitely want to promote that, but we also want to extend the community further. So mm-hmm. we want to work on getting some new authors in, and we're also stepping out of just our LGBT genre, and we're going into some young readers, some self-help books. We're actually just going to start branching out into different directions for authors that just want to use this as a platform to promote their books if we like it and
of interest,
you don't want to share it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So just check us out. Go to our website, thegirlshour, HOUR.org. Our P.O. box is there. It's P.O. box 3935, New York, New York, 10185. And we have updated our website a little bit. Jen's done some great work with that.
Well, we have our merchandise on there now.
Yes. Yeah. You want to talk about that because that's really cool.
We have a couple of, we ordered some t-shirts that people seem to really like. We only have a few left. And what we wanted to do was kind of order something and then see how that went and then order some more. So we will be ordering the next round. I think we're going to do long sleeve shirts this time and just in time for Christmas, which will be great. You know, we're working on it. So if you order something and you don't hear from us or something happens, please let us know. Feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter because I'm learning as I go. So, and my wife very graciously said to me, "You handle it." Those actually were her exact words. So with that
also
said,
give that mind of hers something to do.
Yeah, because I didn't have nearly enough to do the last 6 weeks. But we are also updating pictures of our What Love Looks Like. We have some new pictures up. So we definitely, especially with the holidays coming, send us your pictures, be it you and your loved ones, you and your dog, you and your cat, you and your grandmother, whoever it is. Just send us some pictures and then look for it. If it's something that you're willing to let us share, we will put it up on our website.
On your radio, online, and on your phone, The Girls Hour with Jen and Michelle, Joy 94.9.
Well, today on The Girls Hour, we have Suzanne DeWitt Hall. Actually, we have her back on The Girls Hour. So welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you for having me back again.
Hi, Suzanne.
This time, you are back with us to speak about a book that I'm holding in my hand right now, Rumpelpimpel, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It came with us to Long Island this weekend.
Yes, it
did. The music festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in my backpack. I've been just waiting for it to come out as I pull out other paperwork, like in a meeting.
It's very colorful.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah. But so welcome back with us. And we want to give you a chance to tell our listeners about this book. And we want our listeners to know Rumpelpimpel is a rescue dog, and he has two mommies in this book. So that right off the bat is an eye catcher, or an ear catcher, I guess is the right word, right? So tell us how this book came to be.
Well, we had no exposure to terriers. We had both been dog owners our whole lives, but we never have been terrier owners, and wire fox terriers are very particular creatures. And so we had this little puppy who we were trying to figure out and who had many amazing skills, one of which was being a great escape artist. So this story, the book Rumpelpimpel, is modeled after our real dog, who's a wire fox terrier, Rumple Pimple. That's his nickname.
That's his nickname. Oh, okay.
That is his nickname. His real name is Charles. Yeah. He quickly morphed into Rumple Pimple.
How did you come up with Rumple Pimple?
How did I come up with it? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
We're nickname people. I think maybe even me more than my wife, Diane. So I called him a bunch of strange things. He mostly went by Charlie, but one day he came in and his curly fur was all askew, and I called him Rumpelstiltskin because he looked rumpled.
Ah.
And then that morphed over time into a few variations, and it landed on Rumple Pimple, and it stuck there, which is kind of it's strange. We used to live in this apartment building, and, you know, in this warm summer months, the windows would be open, and so our neighbors would be hearing us call, "Come here, Pimple!" And he's got a sister, and she's a cat, and her name is Chicken. So, you know, our neighbors clearly thought we were insane calling Chicken and Pimple. So that's how he got his name. And in this book, it's based on a real story, where I was trying to get some work done, and so Diane took Rumple Pimple to the grocery store with her on a nice cool day, and she watched him vigilantly as she got out the door, because he's a terrier who likes to bolt, and just as she was closing the door, he jumped through and ran across the grocery store parking lot. And she's thinking, "Oh my God, I have to catch him. And then he ran straight through the automatic grocery store doors and disappeared inside the store. He quickly went from, "Oh my gosh, he's going to be killed," to, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to kill him." She made her way in the store, and a helpful lady said, "Oh, are you looking for your dog? He just ran down aisle 4. So she followed him, and she found him at the butcher shop at the meat counter with his feet up, you know, staring at the meat and smelling, filling his nose with the scent. So,
my God.
Yeah, so it was a real story. I decided to fictionalize it for a children's book and make it so that the reason that he ran in was because he heard this little girl crying. Mm-hmm. And when he goes in there, he helps this little girl who's being bullied by an older kid who's trying to steal her blanket. She's just a little toddler. While there are two moms of these two kids are chatting in the grocery store, as, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I remember being a kid, and if my mom ran into somebody in the grocery store, we could be there,
for hours.
An all-day affair on a Sunday.
So,
you know, so that was the idea, and the premise was kind of that this universal feeling of being misunderstood. And as a kid, you can have the best intentions of trying to do something, and meanwhile, a vase gets broken, or God knows what happens, but you get in trouble, even though, you know, you were the one who was the wronged character. So, you know, that I was kind of tapping into that universal feeling of being misunderstood.
That's fantastic.
You covered a lot of bases. You covered bullying. You covered
giving of yourself, risking getting in trouble for someone else, even if it's the right thing to do.
And a cute dog. Yeah, I love the illustration.
Yeah. Oh, the illustration is fantastic. Now, is this somebody that you've worked with before, or Scott?
Well, this was my first illustrated storybook. Mm-hmm. I've got others that I've written, but that I haven't done anything with yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an illustrator has to be pretty closely matched to the story, their style. Mm-hmm. This illustrator's name is Kevin Scott Gehrman, and he wouldn't really be a fit for my other books. Mm-hmm. So that's been it was a really interesting thing to kind of work through the whole process of finding an illustrator and then going through the illustration process. It was pretty fascinating, but we're really happy with the style. Some people have likened it to old Disney movies like Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I can see it right now.
I can see it from him.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was a fascinating process.
So where are you going with this storyline now? Or is this going to be a series? Are we going to have a books to follow? Is it going to be, what do you see? What is your goal?
Is there a sequel to Rumple Pimple?
Yes. We'd always picture it as a series. And I've been I've had a draft working for the second adventure for some time, and I'm just having a hard time getting to the project. But in the second adventure, it's also based on a true story where Rumple Pimple, the real Rumple Pimple, ended up in jail. He got loose. A neighbor left the gate open. He got loose. He was missing. We called the police and found out he was actually, luckily, they had scooped him up. And so we went down to the police station, and I figured he'd be behind the desk, maybe petting him, feeding him dog biscuits or whatever. They actually opened a door and then to like the cell block, opened a cell door, and out dropped Rumple Pimple.
Oh my gosh, he really went to jail. That's terrible, poor guy. Oh my gosh.
Rumple Pimple went to jail.
Walter's been to jail, but he was like you expected, you know, he was the star of the show.
Somebody dropped him off he did the exact same thing. He got out of a open fence, and my neighbor brought him to the police station. It was a Sunday night, and I go running over there as this man with this thing around his neck, and every door in the police station was locked because it was Sunday and all the offices were closed. And I said to him, he said, "Oh, are you trying to get in too?" I said, "Oh, are you trying to get in?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I have to pick up a dog. They just called me from the pound." And I was like, "Okay, well, you can go back to your car because that's not going to happen." And when I went inside, the man at the front desk was taking a selfie, and I'm like, "That's my dog." And he's like, "Can you just give me 1 minute? I want to send this picture to my wife." I was like, okay, great, perfect.
So Walter.
So I think that Walter and Rumple Pimple would be best friends.
It sounds like it.
Proceeds of your books go to the rescue organization for Wire Fox Terrier. Is that where you got Rumple Pimple?
No, we actually have a very bad story. He was not a rescue. We did something that we highly recommend not doing, and that is wandering into a pet store when they have a big sign that says pet sale on the front. And we fell in love with this little dog and ended up taking him home. But you know, since then we've learned a ton. And you know, one of the videos that Diane created is all about that story and about what we've learned about why that's a bad thing to do.
Well, you still rescued him, you know, in a way. You still rescued him. You gave him a home. So,
well, yes, because it turned out he had had no human socialization. He didn't have any idea how to function with us, how to play with us, how to be affectionate. So it was, he had a rough start as a puppy in just trying to figure out how to live with humans.
So where can everyone find Rumple Pimple? Find you?
Well, the easiest place is the 50,000-pound gorilla amazon.com.
Yeah.
If you just, if you Google Rumple Pimple, it's, you know, it's one word. It's spelled just like it sounds. And you can kind of find him everywhere. He's on Facebook. He's on Twitter. He's got his website. So he's very easy to find. And once you find a social media presence, there'll be a link that you can follow.
Excellent.
How could you forget that name? You know, Rumple Pimple. Say that five times fast.
Excellent. Well, thank you so very much for joining us again here on the Girls Hour. We will continue to follow you and the adventures of Rumple Pimple. And like we said, who knows, maybe someday the boys can get together and see
in a town somewhere they take over.
Maybe in a parallel universe. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, thanks, Suzanne.
That would be fun and terrifying.
Exactly. So,
well, thank you guys. I really appreciate getting to know you, really.
Well,
same
you.
Here. Thank you very much for that.
Yes,
really.
Yes, and we will be in touch.
Perfect. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
She's a super cool tech genius. She likes her champagne. The Girls Hour with Jen and Michelle. Straight from New York to right here in Melbourne, only on Joy 94.9.
One of the things that we want to close out our show with is actually two topics. When we got rid of our house, we were able to donate a lot of items, and that felt really good. And as you know, we approach the month of December, the season of giving, anybody who listens to us knows that we don't really necessarily believe in a season of giving. We believe in daily giving, and we're very active in that, be it pet volunteering or fostering or anything to bring good into the world. So what we're asking is that as we move forward into this month and into a new year, that you let us know what you're involved in. We happen to have a platform where we could support things that we believe in, and we want to spread the word on things. If there's something going on, be it in your town or nationwide, let us know. Let us use what we have here to support whatever it is that you believe in.
Also, talking about what we did earlier in the show about family, when we were mentioning my parents and how they weren't accepting of Jennifer. And we'd like to hear from you. We'd love to hear your story or how you cope with it. This is the holiday season where you go Thanksgiving and you have Christmas and all these different things where families are pushed together. What did you do if your spouse or your partner is not accepted from your family? Or what are your situations or your stories? We would love to hear from you. And you can reach us. You could email us, thegirls@thegirlshour.com. Go to our website, thegirlshour.org. Find us, all our information there. Listen to our shows, and we love to hear from you. You can reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter at The Girls Hour. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a great show, and until next time, have a great, great week. Somebody save your soul, cause you've been sinning in the city. I know too many troubles, all these lovers got you losing control. You like a drug to me, a luxury, my sugar and gold. I want the good life every good night, you're a hot one to hold. Cause you don't even know.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.